Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Everybody, and welcome to the Chris Vaccaro Show, starring your friend Chris Vaccaro. We just did a 10-minute warm-up show. One of us didn't record, so get excited. What we're not going to lead with is Matt Breda. I guess what you missed in the private VIP show was that I'm going to be getting a Matt Breda jersey for Christmas. So the rest, I'm sure, if anyone's been listening to the show all season.
Why don't you tell the listeners how you actually started the show off with a Matt Breda pickup, him or not? Topic discussion.
That's fine. We can talk about that later because I still think it's a valid. I would bring it up again. Mm. You ridiculing me only makes me stronger. Chris Vaccaro. All right.
Get into this week, Nando. Yeah. A lot of good games this past week. A lot of good games this upcoming week. It's crunch time. 2 weeks to try and make the fantasy playoffs. A lot going on. Let's get into all of it. Go.
I want to jump into something that's near and dear to your heart, Elijah Moore. We've popped him up on the show a bunch. Yeah. The Jets are a different team, mm-hmm. I would think, with a new quarterback. Obviously everyone's going to Garrett Wilson. But I think quietly, like if you don't listen to this show, I don't think you have that same kind of passion for Elijah Moore that, that we do. I mean, if he's not right in your face, and thanks to you, you do it here. But for other people, people might be listening for the first time. Elijah Moore is going to have some sneaky value, I think, the rest of the
year. Oh, yeah. No, and I see him on a lot of waiver wires, and I'm sure that our listeners are looking at their waiver wires and see his name. That's the type of player. We talked about this last week. We don't want to be repetitive and talk about the same guys every week, but, after the game that he just had, gave 15 fantasy points. He caught a nice 42-yarder. He got in the end zone finally. This Mike White just, it was like a shot of adrenaline into this offense. He's the type of guy that you add. Now, here's the negative. He only played 45% of the snaps, Nando. Okay. Yeah. But, and that's, Corey Davis came back. Conklin is involved again into the offense here. But you're going into a game like this week in a dome in Minnesota. Chance that the game could be a little high scoring. You can have a little bit back and forth. Now, just say your 45% snap percentage on Elijah Moore starts creeping up. He starts maybe getting there 65% this week. Before you know it, you go into the fantasy playoffs and he's an 80% snap wide receiver. He's somebody that you could flex. So when you're in tough, deep leagues, that's why if you remember last week, I told you in one of my leagues, I dropped my whole fab budget on it. He was really doing nothing, Elijah Moore. All I had to hear was, all right, he's moving into the slot and he's on the waiver wire. There's nothing available on the waiver wire this late in the season. So you take a shot. It was nice to see that 15 points and him get on the field and play almost 50% of the snaps. Hopefully he keeps going up and up and he gets more involved. Before you know it, hey, maybe he's one of those weird late season league winner types that you took off your bench. And he gives you 15, 20 fantasy points each week in those championship weeks. So solid ad. That's one of the type of ads that you're looking for right now.
Let me ask you this strategically, people kind of mold their end game rosters. This is the one topic that you texted to me that you want to talk about. I'm just going to ask it in a different way. How much of your bench right now should be composed of running backs versus wide receivers? Like Elijah Moore. Great.
No, I'm not going to answer that question.
We can't do this again.
No. I'm going to tell you why, because it's not a good question, and people listening at home, that's not a good question.
Wrote the question.
I could have a fantasy. No, I didn't.
You said ask me how many positions
I had
should be
fantasy.
On the bench.
No, I didn't. I didn't say that. I said I didn't say that at all. You know that.
It's the same thing that you wrote.
Each roster, you could have a roster. I have some teams that I have three big time running backs that I know are locked into my two RBs and a flex, and I only need one or two backups, and I'll carry just those five into the playoffs. but I only have like one really strong receiver. So I'll have like nine receivers on my bench. Okay. Now you could flip it. And I'm not going to go through it, but you could flip it and have the opposite problem. So there's no, when you act something like that, that's not a, like a solid, you know, well, I can't do nothing with it.
Because I would, so
but I just explain why it isn't. It every team is different.
That's your strategy. So. But my strategy is what's going to be available.
Okay. So what you're saying, wait, let me stop you right there. So what you're saying, okay. Yeah. Is that you want me to say, yeah, Nando, have seven running backs on your seven running backs rostered as you go into the playoffs and seven receivers rostered. And you're going to go, okay, great. But Chris, I have four awesome big time running backs. Yeah. Why I need to carry Matt Breida and garbage? And I need help at receiver. So that's why, before we get into it, that's why each team is team specific. On roster breakdown, I'm carrying four tight ends into some of my teams that I know are going to the playoffs right now, just because tight end is so, you know, is so bad that, you know, last week I started adding a couple Daniel Bellinger shares, and I'll wait an extra week, you know, or two when he's coming back. If he's not back this week, let him get going. Maybe he's my starting tight end in the fantasy playoffs. You know, each team is team specific. If you have, you know, five stud receivers, then I don't need to carry an eighth receiver or a seventh receiver into the playoffs. So that's, you know, that's the way I go into my fantasy playoffs. But what we should be doing right now.
Well, no, let me ask you this. What have we been doing, or what strategies with teams you know are playoff bound last few weeks or starting this week?
Yeah.
Please answer that, sir.
Wait.
I don't even know.
I don't even know what you just texted. I knew you were going to be off the chain just because you were texting me the last couple hours how crazy your house was. I think your kids drove you delirious.
Probably. I'm reading word for word what you wrote to me at 7:37 p.m. Eastern.
My point is this.
What have we been doing or what strategies with teams you know are playoff bound last few weeks or starting this week?
Right. Things like stashing injured guys. Like, you know, that's something that I've been doing. Okay. Like a Daniel Bellinger. Like a Hunter Renfro. Okay, so like last week, I started adding.
That's good advice.
Renfro, you know, because if you don't have a lot of fab budget left, and this is more of the high stakes crowd and you know, competitive home league listeners, you know, if you don't have a lot of fab budget left, you're not going to get those big names that are coming off the wire right now. You know, the Van Jefferson, okay? He's going to be a popular in some leagues, okay? Okay, Allen Robinson's out for the year. Van Jefferson, people are going to look at him like he's the top receiver for the Rams. Not that I would want anything to do with that team, but you get my point. People are going to have the players that are still in the running for leagues. They have a lot of money left. They're going to say, all right, you know, here's 300 on Van Jefferson, 200 on Van Jefferson, whatever. But my point is this, you don't have a lot of money left. What do you got to do to set up your playoff roster? For me, it was, okay, nobody wants to touch a Hunter Renfro right now, a Daniel Bellinger, okay? Let me put $1, $2, $3 on him and stash him. I know my team is getting to the playoffs. Let me look up in week 14 or 15 and he's back. And who knows, maybe I need him as a flex wide receiver in one of those three playoff weeks and he's a 6-for-60 guy. Okay, now speaking of Vegas, let me push that off to the side because I want.
No, go ahead. I like where you're going with this.
No, I'm just we're talking playoff, how to set up your playoff rosters and things I'm doing with limited money. That and this year more than ever, I'll say this: what I'm doing for my playoff teams that I know are going, I'm adding a second defense. Okay, I already started looking in the past week or two about defenses that fit my team. Okay, and I could, and there's just no strong fantasy defenses this year. Dallas is definitely one of them, but Philly, who we talked about, we thought was one, they're fading quick. San Francisco is a decent one, but in general, there really aren't really solid fantasy defenses. So I think more than ever this year, you're going to have to rotate and play two different defenses and just see how the schedule plays out through 15 and 17. So those are the two biggest things that I'm doing with my fantasy rosters that I know are going to the playoffs.
Are you planning that second DST that you add? Are you planning on like, all right, a couple weeks, you know, I got my eyes on the Colts because they got a couple good games too? Or are you saying like these are the two that I'm going to carry throughout the playoffs that will take me there?
Now I'm looking at that week 15 through 17 schedule, you know, and that's why I was adding the Chiefs defense. The Chiefs defense isn't like a good defense at all, but weeks ago, that's, you know, what I started adding.
What are the matchups you're looking for? Like a quarterback who throws a lot? Because I know
against the bad offenses. Yeah,
but like the Rams might not make turnover. You know, they might not turn the ball over. They might just not score a lot. You know what I mean?
Like, right. But you know what? Like, so that's one of them right there is like, I want to pick on the Rams offense and you know, like a defense that is grossly overvalued all season long and that a lot of people liked and had to drop them. And they're just sitting there on waiver wires, the Green Bay Packers. But you look up in week 15, first week of the fantasy playoffs, Packers are at home versus the Rams. This Rams team is an absolute dumpster fire. We talked about it last week, how big of a dumpster fire is they were. You know, we look up 7 days later, they're 10 times more the dumpster fire.
It's crazy. We're right? not like, how could this get worse? Like, I will hurt Allen Robinson, too.
No, you know what? That was good news, okay? But here's the funny thing. Not only are they dumpster fire, you're not going to see Stafford again, okay, this season. No. He's done, okay? Now that, you know, we obviously know about Kupp gone and now Allen Robinson, not that he was a big loss. That disaster season is over. They're just shutting all the vets down now. Now we get word today that Aaron Donald has a high ankle sprain and is out 3 to 4 weeks. Guess what 3 to 4 weeks translates at for Aaron Donald? We'll see you next year, okay? He's never sniffing the field again. And we're probably all staring at our watches right now. At any moment, you could see Jalen Ramsey's going to come up with a fake injury, okay? Because can you imagine that guy showing up on a Sunday and going, yeah, I'm interested in playing here. So Ramsey, they'll wind up coming up with some fake injury and shutting him down for. And you would think that, all right, listen, they're tanking to get a better draft pick, but they have no draft picks in sight. It's crazy. They all belong to the Lions. So the Lions get there, you know, right now, they would get the number 3 overall pick, and it would be the Lions getting their pick. So that trade worked out. That trade worked out great for both sides. The Rams got their Super Bowl.
They got a Super Bowl, right? That's all.
Yeah,
you know,
they got their Super Bowl, and the Lions cashed in, and you're going to get reap the benefits of the draft picks. So good for them.
I will say this.
But, man. Yeah, go.
You're not going to like it, but, I mean, Bryce Perkins can run for 50 yards a game. I don't think he's going to have anyone to throw to. But I do think maybe he won't throw. Because I look at interceptions, sacks, and then a little bit fumbles when I'm looking at a team, you know, like.
All right, so Kyler Murray is on a bye week this week. And let's say you're the Kyler Murray owner and you got to go to the waiver wire. And there's Kenny Pickett, there's Mike White, and Bryce Perkins. Who are you picking up?
I didn't mean it like I need to pick up Bryce Perkins to be my quarterback. I meant if you're facing the Rams, that offense, yes, isn't going to score a lot of points or get a lot of yards, but they might not make a lot of turnovers. That's all I meant. Okay. I know. I do know he. You know he just threw 2 interceptions.
I was just gonna say, like I'm
he's just getting used to the team, man. That's all.
They scored 10 points, and all right.
Sean McVay's a genius.
The point is that's the type of team you want.
Right, I understand.
Your fantasy defense to go against. You want to play against the Texans, the Rams. There's so many crap teams and offenses.
Poor Texans, man. Poor Dameon Pierce.
Yeah. I mean, Dameon Pierce is struggling big time as well, Nando. He's fading. He's hitting the rookie wall. And, you know, we probably saw the best of Pierce. It's tough for these rookie running backs. You know, they're not used to the grind of 17 games, 17-week season. They're coming straight out of college. It's very rare that you see it. So,
are you looking at, like, in terms of Pierce, like, maybe Ogunbowale is going to take some of that market share?
It's possible. Yeah. I mean, listen, we're not inside the building. We don't know if they see, like, all right, listen, you know, we see you fading and the production isn't there. And yeah, they could definitely give others, you know, a piece of the pie.
I mean, he hit a wall. He went from, to like averaging 100 yards, 138, 94.
Oh, he hit the ground running this year.
I'm just talking like in November, he's got a 138-yard game and a 94-yard game, and then 8 and 8. Like, it just happened like that.
That's called hitting the wall.
but I mean, like,
he hit it hard.
Sometimes it slows you down a little bit, and you have some kind of warning, like, oh, he went 8 for 29. That's a bad game.
Mm-hmm.
But he went 10 for 8.
It'd be tough unless I had really good options. Unless I had a team where I have 3 really strong running backs, or 2 really strong running backs, and a solid 4th receiver to flex to sit Pierce in this matchup versus the Browns.
I mean, you're screwed. This is like losing Pierce, but not having it. There's no handcuff to turn to. You just lost a guy who's getting you 100 yards a week.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams like that. You just don't have. Yeah, it's. You got to just take them out of the lineup. That's what happens. This is fantasy. You know, there's a lot of teams like that, a lot of players like that, just fading, and you just got to sit them down. You got to hope that you have somebody on your bench that's a capable replacement to fill right in.
But he's got, like you say, but he's got the Browns this week.
It's a big game. Your boy Deshaun, well, you know, it's going to be tough, Nanda. Who do you think? You're going to go to Watson, or you think Brissett's going to start again?
You know, you mock it, but...
I still can't get over that.
They carried him off the field. I wasn't saying, like, I could see this happening. I was saying, can you see this happening?
Can I see what happening?
Never mind.
Brissett? What, Brissett starting?
No, yeah, them being like, that's my quarterback. Because it was kind of like a celebration of Jacoby Brissett at the end of that game.
Brissett didn't play well. I know you didn't watch the game. I watched most of that
game. Because I watched all of every snap
Brissett,
of the Cleveland Browns.
Brissett didn't play well. He got in the end zone. To my boy Njoku at the end, that was a really fascinating game, to be honest with you. It was frustrating. And then in like the last 5 minutes of the game and in overtime, the Browns got their stats. You know, Chubb went over 100. And speaking of that, my new favorite head coach, Stefanski, in Cleveland. I love this guy. When was the last time, Nando, you saw a coach opt to end a game the way he did? And not just, you know, you're inside the 5-yard line, you're on the 2. Usually the quarterback takes a knee, sets it up for you, the kicker to come in and just chip the game-winning field goal.
Right.
No. He leaves the offense on the field. It gets us Nick Chubb owners a cheap touchdown. I mean, huge.
How bad has Kareem Hunt been this year? How big of a disappointment has Kareem Hunt been?
A huge disappointment. I know. That's more on the fact that Nick Chubb has been, you know, Nick Chubb's one of the top 5 running backs in football, and he's great, and he should, you know, stay on the field. He deserves those extra carries, the extra snaps.
But it's not like Nick Chubb's a rookie who just showed up. Like, Nick Chubb's shared a backfield with Kareem Hunt for 3 years now.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why they decided to give Chubb finally more of the pie, you know, this last couple months, and then Hunt fade. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know. But you know what? I know as a Nick Chubb owner, that's what we want to see. And, you know, I'm glad that the Browns won again, you know, this game. Maybe they start getting into a little role right here. This offense is going to be an interesting offense down the stretch now with Watson. Njoku got up to, I think, about 80% of the snaps. So I still look at him as a top 6 tight end rest of the way. And Cooper keeps pumping out consistent numbers. He caught the long one in overtime that gave him a solid-looking box score. And that's it. I'm interested in this Browns. I know I say it every week, but the Browns are a really fun team to watch each week, and now they'll be even more fun now with Deshaun Watson there. So,
looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, 2 pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
I'm interested to see how this Deshaun Watson thing plays out.
Well, sit back and watch.
I mean, like, I know he's been practicing. He's gotten some snaps. He's done a little bit with the first team. I don't buy that he's completely rusty. And that, you know, the game might go a little fast for him right off the bat. But I just, like, is he going to continue throwing to Donovan's people? Like, it's more like the cast around him.
So Watson's always been a, you know, rely on the tight end. So this is why, you know, Njoku owners are even more excited now that Watson's coming back. Not that Njoku was having a, you know, was getting ignored by Brissett, because no, Brissett was made him a top 6-7 tight end that he is. But that's been Watson's thing. He always looked for the tight end. And we'll just have to wait and see now, though. I mean, listen, we could sit here and is he going to be rusty? Is he going to hit the ground running? None of us know. You know, he's been practicing for the last couple of weeks. He's been allowed to practice with the Browns. So now you don't know how many first team reps he's been getting these last weeks, but this week he'll be getting all of them. And he comes back to a nice matchup versus the Texans. He'll go into a hostile environment. I'm sure the team's going to want to play hard and fight hard for their new starting quarterback. And the future's bright in Cleveland. And this offense is pointing in the right direction here.
I still find it. I think it's gonna be, that's going to be a very watched game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's some good games this upcoming week. The 4 o'clock window has the game of the day, the Chiefs at the Bengals, which is a really big-time fantasy game. If you remember last year, it was the Week 17 Chiefs at Bengals, the same exact game that produced the huge back-and-forth, you know, shootout between Burrow and Mahomes that won everybody all the fantasy money and leagues last year when Ja'Marr Chase went crazy. And speaking of Ja'Marr Chase, he's most likely back. All the words seem to say that he could have played this past Sunday. They held him out to make sure that he's ready for this Sunday. So, you know, Burrow's getting all his weapons back, and it should be a really fun game. The Chiefs are 2-point favorites in Cincinnati, and I think it's the highest total in Vegas with 52.5. So, big time back and forth here. The Melvin Gordon sighting was weird. I think people are getting a little too carried away with the, you know, the excitement for Melvin Gordon signing in Kansas City. I don't know how you feel about that.
I'm just like, it seems like Kansas City will take a shot. They're almost like, you know,
yeah, how everybody, right?
Yeah, it's like the Patriots, yeah. But they never work out for the Chiefs. Like they have, like Josh Gordon did not work out. I guess Jerick McKinnon did a little bit, but they really wasn't taking a shot. They went out and signed him and they got hurt.
Yeah, because they're the franchise. Out. They're a franchise that can afford to take those shots and not be ridiculed, because look at all the success they've had. So yeah, they're like, all right, you know, this veteran's out on the street. Go ahead. But if they really wanted him, they would have claimed him on waivers. And he went right through waivers, and then he sat around. And I don't know if people are overlooking the fact that Gordon, you know, I see a lot of people on Twitter.
Hey, listen.
Think that Gordon is.
I'm sorry. When we didn't record the first time, I swore this was going to be a not go off the track show, because it's week 13 and we don't want to mess around. We'd like people to actually have actionable advice.
Yes.
And Chris said,
Nando,
how was your Thanksgiving? And then immediately, how was your Thanksgiving?
All I said was, hi, welcome into the show. How was your Thanksgiving, Nando? You started going off on a tangent. But yeah, Nando tried to, before the show, for our listeners, say, listen, it's, you know, going into week 13, we should try and not be, you know, as, you know, joke around this week. We should try and be serious. All right, Nando. I'm sure you're going to live up to that bargain.
I have so far.
All right.
Let's talk about Darrington.
But anyway,
Evans.
Listen. But wait. No, I don't want to talk about Darrington Evans. Melvin Gordon, people are thinking he's going to come into Kansas City and walk in and be the starting running back. He got signed to the practice squad. You know, they're just taking a shot on him. They probably want to see what he looks like, and people are going to get all excited. But he was dropped in a lot of high-stakes leagues. I want to know if people will be interested to see tomorrow or tonight. And when the pod comes out, if people throw a lot of money at him to try and get the what could possibly be starting running back of the Chiefs in their mind, but I don't see it like that. Pacheco's running well. They even brought in Ronald Jones active, and he looked good on one run that I saw him have. I don't know if you saw it, Nando, but
I watch all Ronald Jones runs on Tuesday mornings. That's part of my routine.
You wanted to be serious. You said this.
Michael Salfino actually said,
"Hey, ding, ding, ding."
He said, "Put a dollar on Ronald Jones a couple weeks ago."
Oh, you're right. I mean, he looked good. I mean, yeah. I still think Pacheco's going to be the lead back because he's done nothing to not deserve that right. But you know, just somebody to keep your eye on.
Keep an eye on Isaiah Pacheco, the guy we've been talking about since August.
No, Ronald Jones, genius.
Ronald Jones. Well, you worded
that
strangely.
That's what I was saying, yeah.
Tell me more about Melvin Gordon. Tell me more about Eno Benjamin.
Boy.
This is the best show. This is the best show. We're going to win awards for this show.
How about Austin Eckler? Do you know how many catches Austin Eckler has? Can you tell me? Don't look it up. How many catches does Austin Eckler have this year?
76.
Yeah, he's still, close, but I think you hesitated because you were looking it up.
No, because someone had tweeted something like he's going to be the first running back to get 100 catches since blah blah blah. So I was trying to extrapolate.
Oh, he's gonna get way more than 100 catches. He's got 80 catches going into week 13 already. I mean, this guy is a machine.
That's pretty impressive.
It's absolutely insane. That that's going to be another really good game. Upcoming, and it was a good game this past week. The Chargers and the Cardinals with Herbert looking good. I said it last week to you, Nando. There's not that many other quarterbacks I'd rather have the rest of the way than Herbert. He's back to being healthy. He just looks really good. We talked about DeAndre Carter a few weeks ago, and now that Mike Williams is back down again, and I don't know for how long. You know, after the re-aggravating the high ankle sprain, I don't know if he's gonna. You know, show back up this week when practice restarts, or if this is actually a multi-week, 2-3-4 week re-injury of a high ankle sprain for Williams and he's done. But DeAndre Carter, speaking of guys that you should be throwing a couple bucks on, if he was not scooped up, or maybe he was dropped again once Williams came back last week, DeAndre Carter, he put out some big time numbers. He had 21 fantasy points. I think he had 10 targets. I mean,
he's a great Williams, story.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure it'll rotate after Keenan Allen on who that next receiver that has a decent game every week is between Josh Palmer and Carter, and we've seen that so far. You know, Palmer had the big week last week, Carter this week, so maybe it'll be a little spread out. But this is a type of offense that can support multiple receivers, you know, so... DeAndre Carter, he's sitting on a lot of my benches. I wish I had him in this past week, but that's on me. But that was a really good game, them going for two and winning. This upcoming game, I think, has a chance, once again, with the Raiders to be the highest scoring, one of the highest scoring, if not the highest scoring game of the day, because this Raiders offense is humming too. So we could see a nice back and forth between the Raiders and Chargers here. I'd start, you know, as many assets as I have on both sides of the ball here with the Chargers and Raiders.
Do you think...
And another one is Mac Hollins. I'm sorry, just to jump in.
Please,
speaking of Raiders.
Please, this is your show.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just, you know, these under-the-radar guys. Now, Mac Hollins should be already rostered, but that's another name. Mac Hollins is coming on, you know, and he gave like 16, 17 fantasy points this past week. Carr is getting it together. The team is stepping up. They don't have that many weapons after Adams at all. It's Adams and Jacobs, which, my God, what a performance by Josh Jacobs and what a season he's having. But Mac Hollins is another guy. I got to get him into my starting lineups going forward. And this is another type of game that you got to play Mac Hollins if you have him.
I would ask you how you're going to accomplish that, but I know that every team is different. And so, like, you know, like A.J. Dillon or Mac Hollins right now for the next week.
What, as my flex player, you're saying?
I assume your teams are so good, you got three very good wide receivers.
I mean, they're not, but if you're asking which one would I flex, this upcoming week, it would be Mac Hollins, you know, a higher scoring game. I still can't trust A.J. Dillon, but, and keep an eye on A.J. Dillon, you know, when practice comes out, because A.J. Dillon limped off the field with like a couple minutes left in that game, and I don't think he got another carry after it, but I hope he's okay.
Me too.
A.J. Dillon's been a complete bust this year, but he's, you know, he had a nice game in Philadelphia, and maybe he finishes strong, you know?
We don't talk a lot about Philadelphia on this show. I guess because you know what you're getting. Like, you got Hurts, you got A.J. Brown.
Oh, my God, that Miles Sanders game. Oh, my, out of nowhere. How great was that?
Yeah.
How great was that performance? 31 fantasy points for Miles Sanders. I've been looking for that for a while now. You know, it's a frustrating team in terms of the backfield. I don't know what they're doing, but it seems like every week when you watch the Eagles, it's like, why don't you get Sanders the ball more? Give him more of an opportunity. And I was talking to a friend. It was like, yeah, with Sanders, he could give he could give you 4 or 5 fantasy points, or he could give you the 18 or 20. And this week was just happened to be the, you know, cash it in from Miles Sanders type game with, I think he got 16 carries, you know, for 130 yards, something like that. He just had a monster game. So, but it's frustrating because every week they start off their first play of the game with Boston Scott in the backfield. I don't know why. I don't know what the story is with that, but
he's earned
it. They want to start him. Like, is that like his thing? And then you're like, the game starts and Boston Scott's the first guy in the backfield every week, and you're like, uh-oh, like, did Sanders just like get benched? Is this going to be like a Boston Scott? They turn the backfield over to Scott. And then as the game goes on, every time they get inside the five, you know, it seems like they bring Kenny Gainwell in now a lot. So it's frustrating because you need everything to go right to have a solid Miles Sanders 17 to 20 point fantasy game. And if it doesn't go right and he doesn't get the touches or get in the end zone, it's going to be that 5 or 6 point week. So, but what do you want to talk about with the Eagles, Nando? I'll tell you this much.
I think we don't talk about them because there's not much talk. Like, you're going to talk about Devonta every single week.
There's a lot to talk about. They're one of my favorite offenses to watch every week. They're a fantasy dream. You know, if you got the pieces in that offense, you know, Jalen Hurts just keeps turning. That it was crazy. Jalen Hurts had 122 rushing yards at halftime this past week, and I was like, oh, he's going to shatter Justin Fields' record that Fields just got of 178 rushing yards for a quarterback like 3 weeks earlier. And then he just came up a little short. But Hurts is a machine, man. It's one of the best fantasy picks on the board at any position this year is Jalen Hurts at quarterback.
I feel like people forgot about, like, when Justin Fields was going nuts, I think people like just forgot about Jalen Hurts in a way.
So nice to have
it's almost like he flew under the radar.
Runs. Yeah, it's so nice to have a quarterback that runs the way a Hurts and a Fields do. It's, you know, it's such an advantage. You know, like, he had like 27 fantasy points at halftime between the rushing yards and the passing touchdown. It's like his floor is like 25 every week just because of that rushing ability. So I wish Lamar Jackson would run like Hurts and Fields do. You know, you'd think their offense could be based, you know, more set up like these guys do, way more designed runs than, not that Lamar Jackson doesn't have some designed runs, but, you know, it would be nice if you had him like Hurts and Fields.
Who are your top 5 quarterbacks next year?
Off the board?
Yeah, I mean, are you Hurts, those three? Fields, Lamar?
It's Mahomes, Allen, and Hurts, definitely. Those top three right there. Most likely Fields will be in that top 5. And Herbert. I would have Herbert right there.
All right. Thanks.
Am I forgetting somebody? That was off the top of my head.
No, I don't think you are, actually. I think so.
Yeah, Herbert would be like 4th.
Tom Brady.
I love her. What? All right. We're going to ignore you on that one.
Go ahead, sir.
No, that was it. What was Dallas Goedert. That's what I wanted to say. I feel like we haven't gotten any updates on his health. And it's going to be his 3rd week, I think. I know he's on IR, but it'd be nice to hear something to see if people could drop him before he goes into the fantasy playoffs, if he's not going to be available or if he's getting close to returning and on the mend. So that's it. There's really not much else to talk about in this Eagles offense. It's a joy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why I think we don't talk about
AJ Brown, Devonta Smith. Yeah, there's not that much mystery around it.
Quez Watkins.
Yeah. I mean, He's another one that's a really under the radar. We talked about him 1 or 2 weeks ago about Quez Watkins and how with Goddard, once Goddard went down, we could see maybe Quez Watkins being a valuable piece to add off the waiver wire. So
it's the same thing like
that's held true.
Like the Seahawks, right? Like Ken Walker's amazing. Metcalf and Lockett are going to get their points. Geno Smith, you hate talking about because you were so wrong about him. So we just don't really, I mean, bring it up. There's nothing we can offer, you know?
It's true. I mean, with that offense, it's true. What are you going to say? It's, you know, you start Metcalf and Lockett every week. Your boy Geno is a locked-in top 12 fantasy quarterback. Kenny Walker is, you know, is a locked-in top 10 running back every week. He catches the break this week.
Well, where's his Damian Pierce moment? That's not going to happen because Rashad Penny started so many games early. They kind of saved him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, well, it didn't take long for. Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's true, Nando. Hopefully, he doesn't hit the rookie wall. But he didn't have the type of season that Pierce did. You're right. What, you know, Penny was the lead guy. Remember, Walker all of August was out with his issue. What was it? Sports hernia, right?
Yeah,
I believe he had. So his season's been a little different than Pierce's, but hopefully he doesn't hit the rookie wall when he gives me another 4 or 5 more weeks of what he's been doing. But, you know, he capitalizes this week versus the Rams with no Aaron Donald out with this high ankle sprain. So hopefully it's another big Ken Walker day.
I'm looking at the Bucs, and I see a team that reminds me a little bit, and not exactly the same.
That's funny. Did I send you that? Because I did want to talk about somebody on the Tampa Bay Bucs that I like.
No, but go ahead. I mean, you don't. No, this came off. This is organic.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say. Well, I want to guess who you want to talk about. I feel like you love talking about like top 20 guys. So it's probably Godwin, but also I feel like you have some weird thing like with Rashad White.
Well, I love Rashad White, and he. You know, catching 9 balls out of the backfield is not actually where I wanted to go. We're trying to give like a little bit under the radar guys that I'm seeing. You know, so Rashad White aside,
right?
Julio Jones, baby.
This
sounds
really
crazy. It is Julio Jones. Yeah, because, you know, our listeners might be saying, come on, Chris, really, Julio Jones? And yeah, if you've watched Julio Jones the week before they went on the bye week in their game in Germany when he scored that touchdown, he had the burst. Okay. Then watching the game versus Cleveland, you know, he's not putting up the big numbers. Okay. He's not putting up big numbers, but you could see he actually has something left. You know, he's got the burst. And, you know, they even said during the game, the broadcasters, how he's saying this is the healthiest he's been all season long. Now, that might be just player speak. Oh, you know, everybody always says that. But for Julio to say that, you know, he dealt with a lot of injuries early in the year, in and out of the lineup and everything. But now you can actually see it on the field. And I don't know what the story is with Russell Gage, if he's got the same hamstrings as Kadarius Toney has. But for Russell Gage to come out of a bye week and still not be ready and be inactive, I don't know if Russell Gage is going to play again this year. I don't know if it's going to even matter.
So I don't think it's going to matter. I mean,
I don't think so either. So if you're looking for sneaky guys that are sitting on the wire, then I aren't going to give you 25 points. I've been adding Julio Jones shares for the last 3 weeks. And, you know, yeah, he's my fifth or sixth receiver on these fantasy teams. But he's a Godwin or Evans injury away from maybe being a 7 for 70 and a touchdown type wide receiver in an offense you want with Brady, right? So you have two outs there. You know, you got to kind of look a little bit ahead. You know, not every ad off the waiver wire right now in competitive leagues is going to be, oh my God, look who's sitting there. This unbelievable number one wide receiver. No, you got to take a couple shots like the Hunter Renfro, the, you know, stuff like that. I just think Julio makes sense because he's looking good and he's going to be on the field a lot. Even in these 3 wide receiver sets, he plays a lot. And he might have the game here and there where he's 6 for 60 and a touchdown. And there's going to be the weeks that he does what he does now, 3 for 30. But, like I said, you have a couple outs. You know, Godwin or Evans, they're not the picture of health. So, Julio's a sneaky ad for me, and I like the way he looks.
Julio Jones, excuse me, Julio Jones, 31% rostered on CBS. His snaps the last three games, he's going up from 36% to 51% to 62% in this last game.
And that's what we're looking for, Nando. That's the things you got to look at. You know, for our listeners, that's what you want to see. Julio, Elijah Moore, like we talked about. Maybe this week Elijah Moore goes up to 70%, like I said. These are the guys you got to add. You know, it might not happen this week, but you might be, you know, an extra week or two away from saying, hey, you know what? This makes sense for me to get into my wide receiver three spot, my flex spot. And maybe they have two or three big weeks and it works out.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
And just double checking, you're not into Darrington Evans after saying all that.
No, all right. Sorry.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But I won't say anything bad about him because I'm sure that's your guy now. Foreman had a good game.
He always has a good game.
That's not true. Last week versus the Ravens, he gave 2 fantasy points. So. There you go. I mean,
you're allowed those once.
Didn't take long to knock that.
That was game script.
Thought process.
That was game script.
Well, I think we said that with Foreman, though. He's not a running back. He's a running back you want to have on your team and roster, but he's not. You know, I had him in that Thursday night game. I had him in my lineups in the Thursday night game versus Atlanta, it was a couple weeks ago, when he had the nice game.
Yeah, as a revenge.
And he gave like 20-something fantasy. But it's funny because he had a huge game in Atlanta 2 weeks earlier. Then he had a bad game. Then he came back with the good game again versus Atlanta. Then he went to Baltimore and had a crap game, and now he had another good game. So, you know, he always has a good game. It seems like he rotates, but
I mean, he's got 100-yard games in like what, 4 of his last 6. Name me another running back who's doing that.
I'm just saying he's matchup dependent, Nando. You know, you got to pick your spots.
Fair.
With Carolina.
What are the spots? Are we going to expand on that or just?
What do you mean? What do you?
Would you start? Would you start?
Depend on the teams. Depending on the teams he's playing.
AJ Dillon or Deontay Foreman? In your I don't know. Say ravaged RB2.
This upcoming week.
Yeah.
Who's Carolina got?
They're
all.
Never mind.
They are off. But I was just gonna say.
Oh, I tricked you. That was a big trick question for Chris.
No, they are Arizona, Carolina. Arizona, Carolina are the bye weeks. So there you go.
You want to talk about week 14 buys? Because that could change the fates of a lot of.
Yeah, I still don't understand what the NFL. I mean, there's not much to talk about. The fact that, I mean, if you haven't looked ahead on your schedule and see that 6 teams are on a bye week in week 14, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Now, I know
it's ridiculous if the teams are on bye, or it's ridiculous if someone hasn't looked yet.
Well, first off, it's ridiculous if you haven't looked yet, but it's also ridiculous that the NFL did this. So, both. Luckily, Luckily, though, Nando, most of these teams that are on that week 14 bye week, those six teams are pretty crappy teams that aren't big time fantasy relevant.
Well, it's the Falcons, I guess you could say. So you're going to lose like Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, exactly. Like the Falcons, the Bears,
Evans. Packers might be interesting because I mean they're I don't know.
Listen, of course, the big ones are Jonathan Taylor,
Christian Watson is going to be my big. He's going to go down in history as my biggest miss.
That's your biggest miss.
I did not believe. I didn't think it was. I mean, he wasn't getting a ton of targets. You know, like it was. I'm like, oh, this guy's fluky, big play dependent, and he's not. He's been really good three games in a row now.
Yeah, he has been.
I guess my quiet miss. I guess I really didn't have to.
If that's your biggest miss of all time, I don't know what to tell you. It must be hitting pretty good if that's your biggest miss.
Put it all on the show for anyone to listen to.
You know, it's crazy. FFPC, their playoff start.
How much are they paying you?
14. Nothing at all. I just talk about.
You talk about them a lot lately.
I talk about the NFFC a lot, too. the fact that they start their playoffs in week 14. I believe, and
I got to get a text after the show about these guys. Go ahead. You were saying?
Just saying that it's crazy. You're gonna have six teams on a bye. You imagine starting the playoffs, the fantasy playoffs, and you don't have all these players. You know, you go to make the playoffs with a Jonathan Taylor, and you start the playoffs, and he's on a bye. Like, I don't know why they still have bye weeks in week 14. It's too late in the season.
Well,
so NFL needs to do a better job of that. Even this week with, you have two teams on a bye this week, but six next week. I'm sure there's an actual reason for it, but it's just too stupid.
Looking at these teams again, I know you poo-poo the idea that like there's not anyone good that's missing, but I think that's the whole point. Like you have these fringe play. Like if you get Cordarrelle Patterson, he's your flex. I mean, you're probably starting him over some guys who aren't as good as he is, which means you're going to be a little more screwed. In many ways, maybe you'd also rather have the big guys. Well, maybe not. But, I mean, you're going to have to make some tougher choices now. Now, Jonathan Taylor, obviously, is the best example. Michael Pittman, I think, is a start every week. But, I don't know, go back to A.J. Dillon over and over again. Like, if you have A.J. Dillon on your team and you were kind of starting him and kind of not, he's gone. Like, you don't even have that option anymore. Of that desperate, almost desperation play in your flex.
Yeah, well, that's two things is what you're saying is, two things. One, you got to be prepared and looking ahead with these cheap ads and cheap buys that we've been talking about on this show. You know, that's one thing, and it's tough, and you got to hope you have a deep, a deeper bench so you can sit these guys out. It sucks. I have a lot of Michael Pittman shares. Some teams are in the running. It's been nice to have him every week for 13 straight weeks, but come next week, I might be in a situation where I need to win and get in the playoffs or, need points to qualify for the playoffs. And now I don't have my top wide receiver one or two in Michael Pittman. But hey, listen, we knew this in August. It's not like they just sprung up. It just sucks. And you'll talk to a lot of drafters. They might fade some of these players when it comes down to it and they're sitting on the clock in August and early September. And they say, all right, should I take Pittman or A.J. Brown here late in the second round? Well, it's 50-50, but Pittman's got that week 14 bye, and I don't want to deal with that come week 14. So, and others might say, hey, well, you know what? I get Pittman for 13 straight weeks to do my damage, and I don't have to worry about a bye week all that time. And, it changes some people's draft philosophy when you look at these buys this late in the season.
I guess it is kind of nice, if you're sitting right now at, 9-3, maybe even 8-4, and you've got Pittman, and you're like, all right, cool. Yeah. I'm getting in. This is good. Let's get this.
Yeah, it works out perfectly. Out of the way. Yeah.
But, 6-6, you're looking at week 14 without a Michael Pittman or even without a Cordarrelle Patterson.
It's tough, man. Yes, you're right, and I understand, but even for the high-stakes guys listening and competitive leagues, there's not that many leagues that are wrapped up right now. I know Greg and Tom sent out something. There's 82 primetime leagues, and only 9 leagues have an outright winner so far as we go into week 13. 9 out of 82. That means, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's really, that's 73 leagues with 2 weeks to go don't have one of those, you know, 12-0, 11-1, 10-2 runaway winners. So that's how.
How about the FFPC? How's that looking?
I don't have those numbers, sorry. So I just wanted to spread the love around.
Who's winning the GST league? You don't care. League. You don't care.
No, I don't care.
By the way, on Twitter this week, we were talking about the big hats, and I made an offhand. This is a public service announcement for anyone, whoever wants to tweet with their friends. So I wrote back to Vaquero, give me your logo. I need a high-res logo so I can put it on that big hat that Brian Robinson was wearing. And we've gotten like 7 weird spam requests for DMs of people who can make us the logo for a logo that already exists. So I guess never say you want a high-res logo anywhere on Twitter because you'll get these weird, hats. Almost like spam bots. Yeah, yeah, I still want to get you one.
Oh, my God. Those hats that Brian Robinson. And you know what's funny? I'm going to say, well, first off, that they're the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. And I tweeted that, you know, please don't let it become a thing. But guess what?
Everyone's doing it.
Everyone's
doing
it.
Every morning show is wearing them. And it's 5 days later.
Everybody's talking about it. It's like there is no such thing as bad publicity. As soon as Brian Robinson wore it and it started hitting social media, it doesn't even matter if it's the most ridiculous looking thing. It's just people want it. And they want to say they got it. And the guy that created these hats, whoever, God bless him, he probably became a multimillionaire overnight.
He already did. They were on Shark Tank.
Yeah. This was on Shark Tank already?
It's called Noggin Boss.
Really?
It was already on Shark Tank.
Didn't anybody invest?
I don't know. Actually, I don't know about that.
I'm trying to talk fantasy football here, and you got me.
I was doing a public service announcement about Twitter.
Can't you refocus?
Let's talk about the Chicago Bears. I know you hate using your imagination with things.
No, I don't know what you want to do with the Chicago Bears. What do you want to talk about?
Well, look, Cole Kmet is still there. Is he still top 12 tight end? I mean, well, actually, let me rephrase that. Because
hit
12, that's scraping the bottom of it, like top 8.
Top 8, no. Things turn quickly, but if you give me Justin Fields under center this week, then yeah, he's a top 8. I just don't trust anybody else right now, which is crazy to say.
Not Chase Claypool.
He's gonna have to contribute. I mean, I wouldn't have started Chase Claypool in a million years up until this, but it's tough, man. It's tough when you look at some of these offenses like the Rams. Like, who do you start in the Rams?
But the Rams are just like blah. Like, yeah, I think even if Trevor Siemian's
the Bears
still starting,
are blah.
The Bears, you know, they got a little electricity in this starting lineup still, I think the Bears do. Even without Fields, even if Siemian's starting, I still think there's like a little bit of a spark. Whereas the Rams, they use their running backs so weirdly. Like, you can't even be like, well, at least Cam Akers will get 25 carries for 100-something yards. You know what I mean? Like, it's or Kyron Williams has finally emerged as someone who's going to get a lot of carries.
Yeah, like Montgomery's still startable. I would hate to be a Montgomery owner. Whereas 2 weeks ago, I would have loved to be a Montgomery owner once Khalil Herbert went down.
Yeah.
Yeah, Herbert went down and Fields was rolling with the Bears offense. And it was like, oh my God, Montgomery's going to be a 90% touch type running back, bell cow. Like, this is the type of season 2022 fantasy has been. It's a week to week league. And this is, you know, just like I said, 2 weeks ago, I would have said, oh my God, Montgomery might be an RB, you know, borderline back end RB1 rest of the season. Now, I don't want the guy if you gave him to me for free. Like, I would want totally nothing to do with Montgomery at this point. I just think the offense is in big, big trouble. And, you know, we'll see once Fields gets back, if he does get back or if they shut him down. But someone's got to catch the ball there. And if you have Cole Kmet, you have to play him because of what the tight end landscape looks like.
Right.
It's just 2 weeks ago you were saying, oh, my God, I got a top 5 tight end. That might be a 6 for 80 and a touchdown type tight end. And now you're going, oh boy, he could be 2 for 10 this week. So there's a lot of players like that, a lot of situations. Right now, Nando, here's what I'll say about this. I had this talk with a friend also.
Same friend?
No, different friend. Right. you want to just have pieces of
Larry Schechter
certain offenses. No, Larry Schechter kicked my ass in the diamond. So
I saw that posted somewhere.
Yeah, you hurt me. No, that still hurts. It's just you want to be involved in offenses, certain pieces of offenses. That's it. And there's certain offenses you want nothing to do with, even if it's the big name in offenses here. You know, there's startable pieces. There's
Saints. You don't want a piece of the Saints, right?
Well, I mean, I want Olave, but even Alvin Kamara is doing nothing. Like, Alvin Kamara sucked now for about a month.
Yeah.
You know, it's just there's not many pieces there. You know, Olave keeps having really good games. So Saints is one, you know, Saints, I would say yes, minus Olave, obviously. But, you know, there's just so many bad, bad offenses and teams. You know, the more pieces you have of the Bills and the Chiefs and the, you know, the Chargers now with, you know, Eckler and Keenan Allen, like offenses like that move the ball. You know, you don't want to be stuck with Broncos and Bears.
Isn't that crazy? You don't want to be stuck with Broncos with that light with
yeah, it's crazy.
Courtland Sutton, Jerry Jeudy. Like, oh, stay away from the Broncos.
Dude, I still have to start Courtland Sutton every week. And, like, this week, you would have thought he gave me, like, a 40-point game when, like, it was a 6 for 75. But the way that Broncos offense and team moves, it's just like, oh, my God. Like, Sutton and any particular week could be 1 for 13. It's just I don't know how they're this unproductive. Like, they're 3 and out. Get a first down on, like, 12 yards. Punt. It's just you don't want to be involved in that. You don't want to have any pieces. You're not going to win any fantasy championship with pieces of those offenses. You need the offenses that are pumping out 30 points a game. They have good time. They have good quarterbacks at the helm, which there's only like 8 good quarterbacks right now. You want to be attached to those quarterbacks and those offenses. If you don't, you're not winning this year. That's it. It's very condensed.
Be aggressive.
There you go.
I mean, that's got to be part of it. That's what I've been doing this year. I've aggressively added and dropped.
San Francisco is another offense. You know, like we talked about last week with George Kittle at the tight end position. You were like, "Hey, would I trade for George Kittle?" And I said, "No," because you know, yeah, he's still a top 6 tight end, George Kittle. But guess what? In that offense, he's going to have a 22-point game 1 week, and the next week he's going to be the 5. And that's exactly what happened this past week. He had the 4-point game, and it hurt. Because you look and you're like, Jesus Christ, I could go get anybody off of waivers to get 3 or 4 points. I'm expecting George Kittle to make a difference and separate my team compared to a lot of these other teams and maybe not get steamrolled by the Kelsey owner, you know, and guys like that. So I'd keep an eye on that Debo issue. Debo, every game, he seems like he gets nicked up and he goes down. Ayuk's been very he's been very consistent, Ayuk. So he's a locked-in wide receiver, too, for me. But I'd be worried about Debo. I worry about CMC, too, with this injury.
Yeah. You're like, oh, Elijah Mitchell's down. You know, we got McCaffrey. Finally, lion's share of the carries.
Uh-huh.
And no, because he's hurt.
Isn't it crazy, Elijah Mitchell? That poor guy.
I know.
Unbelievable.
I know, man. He does. He
misses all that time, comes back, looks great for a week, you know, gets re-injured again out 6 to 8 weeks, you know. And now with CMC, it's going to be interesting, too. You're going to see a lot of people try and make a move for the kid Mason or Tevin
I've already
Coleman.
Gotten so many questions about Mason. I'm like, how do you not? Like, it's Davis Price actually leapfrogged Mason in like week 3 whenever they had the same issue.
Well, Mason came in at the end of the game when both guys were banged up. That's why.
Was Davis Price active?
He was inactive.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
That's why.
Probably because Mason's a special team.
There you go. It's gonna be. I mean, I think CMC is gonna be okay.
Will he? Let's seen the show before. We've seen this a million times.
I know. But let's see if he goes into bell cow mode again, and now. Whereas it look like, Mitchell's back in play and he looks great. Is this going to be a 65-35 split or whatever? Now, is CMC going to be 85% of the backfield? Or is there going to be another piece of you know, the offense, one of these running backs to come in and be that second guy that picks up the slack for Elijah Mitchell? And if so, who? That's the thing. It's not like your boy Matt Breida. Like if Barkley went down, here comes Matt Breida to get 80% of the, you know, the backfield.
So it's, I get your strategy picking up injured guys, but it also seems like right now you get Matt Breida for a buck. And, you know, if something
I'm not saying it's a bad move at all, Nando. I'm not saying that's a bad move.
It kind of sounded like that for the, you know.
No, you mentioned him against guys that could be moving into a big-time role this
week. For like
week,
a week.
Put him up. You were like, you know, Zonovan Knight, A.J. Dillon, or Matt Breida. Like
I didn't say that.
It's like that's one of these three don't belong. That's what you did. That's exactly what you did.
I said Zonovan Wright, Jamichael Hasty, Matt Breida, Darrington Evans. And then I actually didn't say anything else. And you dove in with your anger.
It's your anger. Speaking of San Francisco and that whole backfield, that's another really good game. Miami, that's the reunion game right there. Miami going into San Francisco. That's a really good game. With Wilson and Mostert, the 49ers old backs going into Miami, going into San Francisco where they can use the help now. And that'll be an interesting game. That's what's the total's only 46.5 on that game.
You think it's going to blow up?
I'm a little surprised at that. I would have that one at like about 50, 51.
What do you think of McDaniel's press conferences? Are you a big fan? You seem like
I like the guy. Yeah. He's funny.
He's got a lot of Nick Kroll. He reminds me of Nick Kroll.
Nick Kroll. He does because he looks like him, but he's also
talks funny like him. He's got the same kind of pacing.
Yeah. You're right. That's a good call right there.
Oh, thank you.
That's a good. Ooh.
Let's get out of here. Yeah. What do you think of the new Disney CEO? Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
All right. We give them people an hour. I think that's enough of your time.
Yeah. You guys got lucky. Last week, that two-hour Thanksgiving spectacular, that was a little too much from us. So,
well, we did that on purpose.
We went back to our normal 1 hour. I think we covered a lot. Hopefully.
That was the plan. Which actually, it actually sucks. The rundown is, or the, you know, the thing I sent to, is it the Welsh, is so much shorter this week because I don't have any of the funny stuff in there.
Oh, well, good.
I'll put an ad for Greenwich Street Tavern in the middle of it.
That's all right. Appreciate it. You enjoying the World Cup soccer or haven't watched a thing? I mean, come on. It was the big USA game today. Really fun.
I'm not going to pretend like I watched
soccer. Wow, how patriotic.
Did you?
Aren't you? I did, yes. How patriotic of you not to watch.
I'll flex my patriotism in other ways. Can we go?
We shall. Good luck in week 13, crunch time. Go get yourselves a win.
And some injured guys.
And some injured
guys. And a second defense.
There you go.
And Darrington Evans. And Matt Breida. In fact, redo your entire bench with those five things we just told you to do. And Julio.
Yikes.
There you go. Six bench players that'll win you your... That's what we're going to call it. Here are the six bench players who will win you your title.
Do not put that on the rundown. I will not be laughed off Twitter. Take care, everybody. See you next week.
Bye.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.